Anyway, but I would have to say today, if you had to do an examination of America and its churches, and if you had to look at the real problem with America in the sense of, you know, morally, spiritually, and everything else, it would come back to the roles of a man and a woman. It would have to come to that, and you would see that because men are not being men and doing, generally speaking, and not doing what they are supposed to do, and they fundamentally are ignorant of their responsibilities, that it has affected womanhood, and it has affected true feminism, true biblical feminism, and motherhood. It's absolutely affected it. It has robbed women of the role that God wants them to have.
Right.
Because, you know, when you look at it, if a man doesn't do what he's supposed to do, the woman is out of the home. The woman is not having babies for the most part. The woman is not being a mother, or she's placing her children in daycare. All over, it's funny, I hear the same stories over and over again. I heard it from a lady at the coffee shop said this. She said, and it was like the video that we talked about, Brother Ryan, I talked about this last week. It was like the video that we did, and your guys' story. It was the same thing. She was like, well, you know, that we're on our third child, and my husband's going to get fixed. Like, what is he, a dog? But he's going to get fixed. And she said the reason he was going to get fixed is because, well, you know, I can't have any more babies right now. It's hard. I'm working. We can't make it on my husband's income. And they go through all of these scenarios. And I'm really tired. I'm working all the time. And I'm really tired and all those things. And she's going through all these things. And really the bottom line is that the child gets blamed and child rearing gets blamed for the ails, for the troubles of society. For the troubles of that. So child, having children is now not a blessing. They've turned it into a curse. So now what happens is what we see is that they think that when they see all those children that you have, when they say, are those all yours? And like I said, no, we borrowed a few of them. They're on lease right now. We get them for a year, and then we can give them back and trade them in for some other ones on a newer model. But, I mean, yes, they're all mine. Yes, they are. And, yeah, we're married, and they're all ours, and we know who the daddy and mommy is. Isn't that great? Amen. Hey, amen. Right? You know? So the thing is, when you think about it, though, here, because things are so off base, because men don't know their responsibilities and no one holds them accountable today, churches don't hold them accountable because they like the double offerings, so then motherhood is what? In jeopardy.
Yep.
Motherhood is in jeopardy today, and it's looked down upon when it is the most noble place for a lady.
That's right.
And that children, instead of being the blessing that God has said they were, they turn them into the curse. They say things like, well, I can't afford to have another child. Well, the Bible says children are a heritage of the Lord.
Amen.
The fruit of the womb is what? His reward. Right? So when you think about that and you look at that, you're like, wait a minute, how do we have it backwards? Because it's satanic. Men have bought into the lie. Americans have bought into the lie of eugenics, of Margaret Sanger, of Planned Parenthood. More pastors preach Margaret Sanger's, or don't in some ways, but they preach Margaret Sanger's line of thinking in private when they counsel people. More people practice Margaret Sanger's philosophies for children, right, then they do practice what the Bible says. So instead of those children being a blessing to you, they're a curse to you, and that's satanic. That's it's switched. It's upside down. It's reversed. It's just like I just saw an article here today about Planned Parenthood, or about abortion, and this man said that pro-life Christians are worse than Nazis. I was like, wait a minute, that's the other way around. You people that are for killing babies, you're the Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's satanic. That's how it works. That's how it works, and that's the philosophy today, and that's why there's so much mass confusion today in America, and men don't know their roles, they don't know their importance, and then women can't do what God wants them to do. So they're always teaching women to aspire to something other than what God says is a glory to them, where God says their protection lies in their home. Their protection lies in their role. Their protection lies in their godly submission and having babies and children and taking care of them and rearing their children and raising them for the Lord. But it's looked down upon today. It's hated today. People, you will see all over the place, pastors and other people will pay lip service today to mothers. But when you look at their philosophies of governing their churches and what they preach and what they teach, they do not believe that. Because if they did truly believe that, they would preach what is right and what the Lord has said in His Word about motherhood and about manhood. Look, manhood and motherhood, you cannot separate the two in the sense of one is dependent upon the other.
Right.
When men understand their proper role, then women can fulfill their proper role.
Right. That's right.
But too many times men ask women to fill their role.
Yep.
Right? And their own role. They ask them to be a mother and a provider.
Yep.
They ask them to farm out their children and send them to daycare at $200 to $300 a week.
Yep.
Well, that's good birth control right there. Because you're only going to have so many children before you say, I can't afford to do this anymore, right?
Yep. Right.
So then you stop doing it because it's $400 or $500 a week, $600 a week it could be, you know, for birth or for daycare. You don't want to pay that. Or you throw them in Head Start and all these other satanic, godless programs where they program them to be little socialists right away and mix their genders up so they don't know what they are. Right? Or they send them even to the Christian school and the Christian daycare center and everything else like that. See, it's the philosophies. They're all against motherhood.
They're
right, exactly. Busy bodies into other men's affairs. That's right. And it's very dangerous. We're going to talk about that sometime, but we're not going to talk about today. But it's called disorderly conduct. And it's called disorderly conduct, and I'm going to preach on that sometime in the future. But and that's going to be part of our manhood series as well. But anyway, the thing is, if you think about it, though, there is a war today on motherhood. There's an absolute war on it. There's an assault on it. It's Satan's assault on motherhood. And it's there. It's real. And that's why, you know, we ought to encourage the mothers. We ought to encourage them and lift them up in prayer and honor them for the work that they do.
Amen.
Because the work is truly priceless.
Yep.
Only eternity will reveal the rewards.
Yep.
Only eternity will reveal that. You remember that. There isn't anything you can do outside of that home and the place that God has put you and the position God has put you in that will reward you with any grander of a reward than what motherhood will reward you and what being a godly wife will reward you in eternity. There's no greater rewards for you anywhere. You can't trade it for a $100,000 a year salary. Amen. You can't trade it for a college degree. You can't trade it for anything else. There is nothing at all that you can trade motherhood in for, and the rewards that you will receive from God in heaven and the fruit of your labor.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers are the ones that raise preachers. They birth preachers. They birth presidents. They birth pioneers, right?
Yep.
They are the ones that birth and train them, right?
Yep.
The Bible says that a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame, his mother, because she's the one that is with him. She's the one that every man that I've ever heard, George Washington, all of them, all attributed their successes in life to their mother.
Yeah.
To the way their mother raised them, to what their mother taught them. And mothers, you need to remember one thing. You need to be teaching your children. You need to be teaching them Bible principles. You need to be. If you're just teaching them their homeschool curriculum and you're not teaching them to follow God and teaching them to love God by your godly example and by your wisdom and your practical teachings of them, you are failing your children. You have a duty to be a teacher and to teach them. That is your duty, to train them and to teach them. And if you don't, that will bear fruit as well. You'll see it in the life of your children one day. You know, you only have about this much time on this earth with them to teach them and to train them. That time will go fast.
Yep.
And then the major influence that you have on their life will be over.
Yep, that's right.
And they will go on, but the things that you have taught them,
yep,
and the things that you have placed into their hearts, and you've tried to condition them for the Word of God and condition for the truth, those things, those principles, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, right? So those things that you teach them and train them and instill in them while they're young will bear fruit when they're old. They will. They'll stick with them. The things that you don't teach them, the bad things that you teach them by your example, they will watch more what you do than what you say.
That's right. Yep.
They will. They will watch what you do.
Mm-hmm.
They will. Because true love, which we're going to talk about today, true love is not just in word, but in deed and in truth.
That's right.
Amen.
And what you do with your life as a mother in front of them, before your godly subjection to their father.
Mm.
Right?
Yep.
Your quiet patience when you disagree with something dad does. Your quiet submission. Did you know, as a mother and as a wife, you don't have to let your husband know every time you don't like something? You can just forbear it. Amen. You can just forbear it. Right? You don't like that, do you? I know, because it goes against your self-will. But you got to lose that. That doesn't mean you're a beating post or a whipping post. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying to you is that you can handle that a different way, and you can pray about it, right? But I know I'm right. Well, that's okay. God knows too. And you can quietly wait on the Lord. Mm-hmm. You can quietly wait on the Lord in godly subjection. You don't have to let your husband know every time you don't like something. Your children see that too. They'll watch that. Right? They'll watch it. It'll affect them. You know? So just remember that. As a mother, they're watching you. They're watching your meekness. As the girls are watching your subjection to your husband. They're watching it. You know, and if you cannot submit, then you're going to teach a daughter not to submit to her husband. If you cannot quietly disagree with something, they're going to see it. Right? They're going to see it, and it's going to affect them. Right? Those boys are going to watch what type of wife to choose by what their mother's like. So how good of a example are you being? Would you want your son to marry someone like you? Ask yourself that question. Moms, listen. Ask yourself that question. Would you want your son to marry someone like you? Are you that godly example that you would want your son to marry a lady like you? If not, then you better get right with God. Right? Would you want your son to go through some battles that you've had in your marriage that were unnecessary because of your pride? if your son came to you and said, well, this is going on with my wife or something like that, what would you say? And he asked for your advice, what would you say? If the same scenario was played out. Right? Think about it. Because that's the type of wife your husband or your son is going to marry. Like you. Your flaws, your failures, or your victories, or your strong points or your weaknesses. Or your daughter is going to imitate how you treat your husband. Would you like it? If you saw it, let me ask you, in your daily lives, as you deal with your husband and everything else, are you that example that your daughter, would you be embarrassed if your daughter did some of the things that you do to your husband? Would you be embarrassed if you saw your daughter do that to her husband? Huh? Ask yourself that question, moms. Am I teaching my daughter a godly submission to her husband and kindness and gentleness and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing? Or do I harden my heart or my neck and stiffen my neck when a problem comes, and do I blow up and yell and lose it? Or do I get angry? Think about it. If your daughter did that with her husband, would you be like, that's wrong, you shouldn't do that? Then don't be that example. Right? Then don't be that example. Because your daughter will think that's acceptable by your example. Whether you say one thing or not, if that's your example, then that's what they're going to do. They're going to think it's acceptable. Right? Think about it. Because that's, remember, the closest example of marriage, home life, motherhood, fatherhood is taught by you. You're the prime teacher. Right? You're the prime teacher of them. So your example is what they see. And what they'll follow. If you saw your daughter doing any of those things with her husband, what would you think? Because that's the example she has. That's the example he will have. Amen? Think about it. Right? Right? And if you are wrong, you better get it right. You better acknowledge your fault before them. Because if you condone your behavior by not openly repenting of it when you're around them so they know that your actions were wrong, you've now just condoned your action. You just condoned it. Am I getting through? Is it making sense? I want you to think about it. Because it's going to matter. It's going to matter that day you walk them down the aisle. It's going to matter when they call me up and say, Pastor, I need to talk. And then I get to clean up the mess. Right? Try to help them through it. Well, how do you know that? Well, I've been pastoring for 11 years. That's how I know. And I've cleaned up quite a few of them. Tried to anyway. Some of them wouldn't clean up. So it's best if we get that stuff settled now and taken care of now that we don't have to do it later. Keep your focus on the home. As mothers, keep your focus on your children. Remember, take heed to the ministry that God has given you. I think sometimes you think too little of what God has given you to do. You make too little of it. You don't fulfill that ministry because you think too little of it. You don't think it's important enough. You know, this is a good question to ask. Man, I wasn't planning on being this long. Oh, okay, yeah, sure. I wasn't planning on being this long, but Andrew messed up, so this is what you're getting. So, yeah. But let me ask you mothers something. Look up here, please, if you would. I want to ask you a question. What vision do you have for the ministry God's given you? I want you to think about it. What vision do you have for the ministry that God has given you? What plans do you have for... Listen. Look at me, please. What plans do you have for your children? What have you planned out as a mother for the future of your children as you guide them and direct them and teach them? What have you planned out? What vision do you have for them? How have you planned for their future in the sense of as a mother training your children and seeing the future and what you have, what your duties are for them and to them? How are you preparing them? Have you even thought about it? You know, this world preaches an absolute opposite message. It preaches to you that everything is grander on the other side. Everything is grander out there. That this is all too difficult. That motherhood and everything else is all too difficult. That everything you're going through. You know, hey. Oh, man. All right. I'm preaching now. Listen. Let me ask you a question. Have you bought into the devil's lie that motherhood is too hard for you? Have you bought into that? Have you been listening to the discouragement of the devil? Have you bought into that? That it's too hard for you to raise your children? That life is too hard? That your circumstances are too hard? That your challenges are too hard? That the number of children you have is too hard? That the circumstances that you are in, that the situation that you're having right now is just too difficult for you? Have you bought into that? Or do you believe what God said in His Word, that He's equipped you for doing what He's called you to do? Which do you believe? That you've been equipped? Or that it's too hard? Because last time I checked, every single person in this room has a nice, warm or cool house to stay in. Has a roof over their head, has food, has family, has friends, has loved ones, right? And therewith to be content. The problem is you lose sight of vision for the ministry that God has given you. That's the problem with if I had to say it today, with motherhood and everything, you've lost the vision or you don't see the vision of your ministry. I know so many women in fundamentalism that want to do something outside in the church, some type of ministry like that, and they have no vision for what's right in front of them. Let me ask you a question. Who has the most children here? Is it you, Brother Bicey? You have seven? Seven, right? You have seven children. What seven people could you impact more than the seven that are right in your house? And how much more can you do with the seven that are right in your house if you raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Your influence on those seven children as they go out and impact the world. Now, let's take it step by step. I've got six. Wow. Yeah. That's 13 children. Lee, how many do you have? Five? Yeah, five. Lee has five. That's 18. Now follow me here. This is why Satan hates this church. And everybody and their mother wants me to shut up. Amen. And their mother wants me to shut up. Amen. You know what I say to them? Make me. Amen. You didn't call me? You won't shut me up. I'm going to keep barking till I'm gone. I'm not a dead dog. I bark. All right, so I'm going to keep going here. All right, I'm getting pumped up. I love it when I get opposition. I love it when people hate me. It just tells me I'm on the right track. I don't even know how many people hate me out there. I don't even care. I just keep going. I'm used to it by now. Hey, I had some fiery arrows thrown at me this week because I'm about ready to finish something God wanted me to finish for a long time.
And that's how I know I'm on the right track, and I'm going to keep full steam ahead moving. Man, I'm so fired up right now, I could jump out of this seat. All right, Ryan, how many you got? 4, and one on the way. 5, how many is that? 18 plus 5, that's 23. All right, who's next? Who's next? I forgot. Man, I don't even remember. Joshua, you got 2. 25. Garrett, you got 1 on the way, and 1, right? 27. Rachel, Aaron, 28. You get in the picture? You get in the picture? Now check this out. I want you to think about this for a second, because this is what the devil hates. And it's all the little devils that left here, they don't like it either, because they're working for that devil. I'm putting this online, too, by the way, because I ain't afraid of one of them. Good. Do what you want. We'll see. I'm still here. I am moving. All right, so here's the thing. See those 28 kids right there so far? And we'll make more. But we're like the donut maker. We'll make more. We'll just keep going. Just keeps going. Right? Check this out. There's 28. Now, I firmly believe that what Satan wants to stop is what's going to happen with those 28 children and counting. That's what he wants to stop. And that is what I have given my life to fight for, is that generation. They'll know what this old man believes when he dies, and they'll know that I warned them, and they'll remember that bony finger that's in their face when I die. And long after I'm dead, God will continue that work here. I believe that. And through the lives of those children. And we will, by the grace of God, lay that foundation very strong for them so they know and they don't have any doubt what this preacher believes and what these people believed and what their parents believed. And that's the fight of the century right there. That's the real battle. And that's what all the discouragement is about. That's what all the looks are about. That's what all the hate's about. That's what all the stupid videos that people try to make are about. Because Satan wants to stop that. And that's why he wants to discourage you as mothers. That's and fathers. That's what the discouragement. And you know what you got to do? Just what I do. Set your face like a flint. Set your face forward and keep moving. There's been a lot of people that thought I would quit. A lot of people thought we wouldn't be here. And they gave it their best shot. But God is able to make you stand. And that's the thing. And he does. And God's the one that does the work. And God's the power behind the work. And he's the reason why it stands. So the devil's going to throw everything at you to discourage you in motherhood. Every other opportunity out there, every other life out there, every other thing out there, he's going to do whatever he can because that's the one thing he wants to destroy in this church. That's the one thing he wants to destroy in this generation. He wants to destroy that and he wants to discourage you. And just remember what the Bible says. Count it all but dung. Right? You just keep going. You just keep fighting through it every step of the way. Every discouragement, you keep fighting through it with the Word of God because motherhood is the most hated place for a woman on earth today. That is the most hated place. It is the absolute most hated position. It is most despised. It is looked down upon. You know? And you're always going to have people that are going to be against that. And who cares? Look, you got to learn not to care what people think when it comes to things like that. When you're doing right, you're obeying God, and you have the right spirit about it, you got to learn to not care what they think. I don't care if it's your mom, your dad, your cousin, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. I don't care who it is. Who cares? I don't care. It don't bother me if they don't like me. I just keep moving. I know who called me. And if everybody liked me, I'd really be in trouble. Amen. Yeah. I'd be in trouble if all those people liked me. You know what I mean? Because the class of prophets that they hated were the ones they killed, right? Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Right? I already know they won't see. Not a one of them can come to me, step to me face to face and tell me anything, though. They don't do that. Neither will they you with the truth. they can't handle it. So there's going to be that attack, and it's going to be, you know, I've been called everything in the book. Like Spurgeon said, he was too. There's a price to stand for the truth. You're going to pay it. But it's worth every penny. It's worth it all. And we'll see at the end who's standing. By God's grace, we'll see. But the fight of the century are those kids. That's what Satan hates. He hates mother. So he's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to get you to be down. He's going to try to get you to doubt yourself, to give up, to quit fighting when you've had a bad day, when you've had a hard day, right? When you're discouraged, right? When those kids have stressed you out, when you're tired, right? To try to get you to give up. But you've got to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is the place that God has put you. This is the ministry. Take heed to thy ministry. Sometimes, ladies, you think that only means your husband and that only means men. That only means a pastor. That only means deacons. That only No. Every admonition that is given to a man to take heed to their ministry is given to you as well for the one you have. You were promised victory. You were promised it. Right? You were promised it. And the days get long. And you can get weary in the battle. But what's the Bible say? We shall reap if we faint not. The true reward, you have no idea the rewards that await you for what you do. You have no idea. We don't know what God... I have a feeling, and I don't go off of feelings, but I see the fruit of what God says in His Word, and here's what I do believe. What I believe from the evidence that God has given in His Word is that the church planting and the work that we want to do for God will truly be lived out in the generation that follows us. I believe that these children will go on to do more for God than we ever did. And they will not know, if you are faithful to God, they will not know and be distracted by this world. They won't know what you've been through. They won't experience what you've been through. They won't ever have to look upon that evil. They'll never see it. Their consciences will not be defiled by it. Right? That's why we continue on. That's why we do what we do. That's why we fight so hard. And that's why the devil hates us so much. Because this whole world lies in the hands of the wicked one. Right? And his system. And churches today and everybody else in this world, the philosophies of men, the rudiments of this world, not after Christ, they are following, they are in Satan's grasp, and they are following his principles. And you wonder why it's so tough. Why? Because you're following God's principles. You are following the Bible. You are practicing Christianity as pilgrims and strangers. As you abstain from worldly lusts, which war against the soul. So that's the battle. Right? That's the battle against motherhood. Because we are defying this entire world system to do what we do. All of it. So when you feel tired and you want to stop, you got to depend on the Lord for strength. And the Bible says He will lift you up. If you depend on yourself or your intellect or your brilliance, you're going to find that God will bring you to a point to where you need Him. And I didn't say you need the faith of your husband. No, you need the faith of Christ. You need to depend on Christ. You have to depend on him. And God will show you that though your husband is there as the stronger vessel and you're the weaker vessel, you still must be dependent on Christ. And you are going to fall flat on your face, lady, many times. Flat on your face. Especially when your pride swells you up so much that you think you got it all figured out. God's going to put you in a place where you need him. And when you're not getting strength from him, that's why you faint. Because you're not depending on him. You might be depending on your husband. You might be depending on many other things, but you're not depending on him. And as a mother, your strength must come from the Lord. It must. It has to. God is the only one that can sustain you. You can cry and weep to your husband for how hard your day is. You can do that. I'm not saying you can't, but he's not going to be able to change it. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you cried out to God first when that day is long and it's hard? How many times have you gotten strength from the Lord where you know God has strengthened you as a mother? How many times? Right? You know, if I venture to say that sometimes you wouldn't overburden your husband with some things if you were drawing your strength from the Lord. I'm not saying don't go to your husband. I'm saying that you ought to be going to God and getting your strength to be a good godly house, a good godly wife, and to be a good godly mother. That strength ought to come from the Lord. It has to come from God. That is the sustaining strength. Like I told you in ministry, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost of God that has lifted me up and held me up and made me able to stand. And that is the same thing that I'll tell you about your ministry that God has given you as a mother. You will not stand. You will not be able to stand unless God strengthens you. And you will continue to learn that lesson over and over and over again when you rely on anything else but the Holy Ghost of God to strengthen you. Your husband's there to encourage you, but your strength must come from the Lord. It must. It has to. It has to. Because his strength is the only sustaining strength. His and his alone. That's it. Right? I'm telling you, I have been there before where things are so dark and dreary and hard and you're disoriented and you're out of it and you don't feel like you're going to get up. I've been there. And it took repentance. It took a humble spirit and repentance and the strength of God to come to pick me up and to lift me up off the ground so I could do what he had called me to do. And that's the same for you, Mom. Right? It's not too hard. And those children are worth it. They are worth it. And you're going to miss these times when they're gone. And you're going to regret that you did not enjoy those times, have joy in some of those times, that you belabored some of those times, that you were cast down in those times, and you really didn't enjoy those like you could have. You're going to have regrets. Right? Yep. That you treated it like it was a burden instead of a blessing. Remember that. Amen. All right. Well, hey, that was like 40 minutes. Now sermon number two. You didn't think I was going to let you out of it that easy, did you? That was just supposed to be some encouraging words to mothers, but that was Sunday school Mondays, or Sunday's Mother's Day sermon. Now turn in your Schofield Bibles. No, just kidding. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, she loves her children. Nope. They've been taught a lie. It's Satan's assault. It's the same one in the garden. Nothing's changed. Still the same.